When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we talk about issues affecting veterans after they get out of the military. Before we get started, I'd like to ask a favor. If you haven't done so already, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. If you've already done that, thank you. These ratings help the show get discovered so it can reach a wider audience. And while you're there, click the subscribe button so that you get notified of new episodes as soon as they come out. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, you can visit driveonpodcast.com/subscribe to find other ways of subscribing, including our email list. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, today my guest is Jody Watkins. Jody is a veteran, author, and host of the Breaking Barriers Now podcast, which has a similar mission to this podcast in that they talk about real life issues and stories to lift up others and support each other on their journeys through, you know, whatever they happen to be going through. So I have Jody on the show today, which actually is Election Day. And Jody told me before we started recording that she has a funny story about Election Day. Hopefully by the time this episode comes out, we have a clear winner of this election. But today is actually the Election Day. So we're sitting here in ignorance of what the outcome is on this particular election. Anyways, welcome to the show, Jody. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Well, Scott, thank you. I just want to say I appreciate you for even allowing me on here. That means a lot. And definitely I saw that alignment as well when I was looking into your podcast and what it was about. And especially with me being a veteran, that definitely hit home with me. So my name is Jody Watkins. I was born Jody Cheryl from Fernandina Beach, Florida, which is a very small town right north of Jacksonville, Florida. And I was born and raised there. I grew up until I moved when I was 18. I moved down to Gainesville, Florida. I got into a lot of debt, learned how college life was not the greatest thing for me, and ended up in the military. But prior to that, just a little bit of my background, I did grow up around domestic violence. There was a lot of just chaos. I watched my mom get, beaten up pretty much every day. So that's just what I grew up around. And it was kind of just normal to me. There was a lot of drugs. There was a lot of alcohol. There was, some abuse in there and it was just life, and I never really thought anything of it. I just was very good at I just kept going. I always just kept going. And so throughout my college years and in the military, I never had actually healed from a lot of things. And it finally showed up when I was 41, which was last year. Oh, wow. Yeah, I was that good at just, continue. I tell people now I was just a professional at suppressing things and keep going, and we learned that resilience in the military, but I already had it, right. So then I just got even more, right? So it was just like, okay, so now I really just have to hide it and keep going, And so that was kind of the backstory. But through that, I published a book, and when COVID started, I said, hey, I guess I'll try this podcast thing out. And so we did that, and it is called Breaking Barriers Now. The premise behind it, like I said, it was the COVID times, and you know, a lot of parents were learning how to homeschool. I had a friend, she was a homeschool mom, and she was actually homeless, and she was out on the road, and they were in a truck. And I said, well, who better to have on the first show than a homeschool mom of two who is actually having to homeschool on the road? Right. And she'd been doing it already. So that was the first show, and it kind of just progressed from there. I think I got into about 7 episodes, and I realized just how hard it was to keep a podcast going. And by that time, there was a lot of other things going on in my life as well. So I kind of digressed just a little bit, and I just waited for a little bit better circumstances. So lo and behold, I have an amazing friend. Her name is Jada. She is not a veteran, but she is a mom of a 6-year-old, and she was actually coming out of a relationship that involved domestic violence. And, you know, she and I just really connected. And I said, hey, you know, anything that I do, I always love having others involved. That's just something. I don't know if it was, I played team sports all my life. I was right. In the military, and we had to work as a team. You know, I worked on airplanes, it was never just Jody. and anytime it was a failure. I'm not even gonna lie. So I started realizing that, and I said, you know, I would love to have you as my co-host. So we began this season kind of talking about her nonprofit that she started out of her circumstance, which is called Transitioning Queens Inc. And it's to help women coming out of toxic relationships and their children. And also during that time, my good friend who happened to be on that first podcast ended up deciding to leave her husband, but that left her nowhere to stay. So guess where she is still? She's in our home. So this is our first case study for that. So the second season of the podcast is more kind of geared towards, it is definitely real life, real stories. We have some amazing people coming on sharing their backstory. It's not just for veterans, but it's really just for anybody who needs hope at this point.
Right. Which I think is quite a few people.
Yes. I mean, and even with me, like I tell people, you know, I really just had to choose what I was going to focus on. I can focus on all the mistakes that I made and all the fear, or I can say, you know what, ain't nobody got time for that. Let's press forward, because I can't go backwards. And this is exactly something that I coach people onto. We can't go back in time. I can't change any of those mistakes. What I can do is I can learn from them, and I can go forward. And that's all we can all do.
Right. And so you talked a little bit about your background and how, you know, in your childhood, your upbringing, there was some abusive situations. There was, you know, drug use, alcohol use, things like that. And, you know, a lot of times that stuff, when it goes left unchecked, it just kind of compounds on top of itself. And then you add in joining the military, and, you know, that's stressful in and of itself.
And right before that, let me just throw this in. Right before I joined the military, I had an abortion.
Okay.
So I blame myself for that for the next 20 years. You know, it's exactly. Just, and like I said, you know, and back then, I don't blame myself anymore, because I didn't know any better. I just knew I was supposed to go in the military, and this is happening, and I don't know what to do. I have no support. I had no money. I had just lost my job. I had, my car broke down. Like, literally everything was just, right. And then, you know, what am I going to do, you know, if I don't do this? So I did that, and I actually ended up on stage last year, and I spoke about that in front of a pro-life just arena. And what came out of that is I support people's decision. However, what they don't get is the information of, this doesn't just go away when you have it.
Right.
It stays with you forever. I blame myself. I self-sabotaged. I definitely was just not in a good place. And then I joined the military, and I never told anybody. When I joined the military, my recruiter didn't know, nobody knew. And I kept it to myself, and only very, very, very close friends, my husband now, because we've known each other for 20 years, he knew. But, you know, it's just one of those things. And I think we just, I don't know if I don't know how men are. I know a lot of women who are like this. And that's what, when I started sharing the journey and, you know, like, I think everybody just thought there was some magical, you know, I told people, I was like, you know, when I was in my best physical shape, I was not happy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. I was dying on the inside.
Right. And so you talk about, you know, you talked about your book and that you wrote about this and you're telling your story about the struggles that you've had with all of this. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to get into all the details on that background. But, you know, what I'm most interested in, I think, is hearing about how it's affected you and how you found your way out on the other side and kind of maybe seeing the light, if that's the right phrase to use.
Well,
and,
that's exactly what it was.
Way through, you know?
Yeah. Well, there was actually two books that came out within the time frame of last year. I wrote one solely by myself. I ended up adding another story in there from a good friend of mine who was also a military vet. And then there was another, I had a huge opportunity to share the real down and dirty, very small. It was something I had already wrote a long time ago, but I never shared it. And that was the part where I literally just shared everything. So that's in a book called If She Can that came out this year. I was one of 16 authors. And I tell you, when I started reading their stories, mine looked like nothing. And that was even more encouraging though, because, you know, we all have this stuff. And I think sometimes we're just so afraid to share it. But when we do, not only is it freeing, I tell people, like when I got off that stage last year and I talked about that situation, I was on stage for 3 minutes. 3 minutes, that's all I had. I was not the keynote speaker. I was just a speaker who got invited to talk about it because I made a connection with an amazing woman. And she allowed me to do that. And I tell you though, when I got off that stage, I felt like I lost 50 pounds of burden. It was, yep. I got off that stage, all the emotion came. I was crying. I was just like, oh, thank God, you know, and, mm-hmm. and how amazing, like, you know, it's just that release. And if we go back to last year, so my husband and I, we were kind of not so great at the end of 2018, but it was because of me. I had a lot of work to do. And well, probably both of us, we're both stubborn, but but a lot of me, I will go ahead and throw that out there. It was a lot of me. And when we left, we were in Okinawa, Japan. I had actually went into the reserves in 2013. I really wanted to help people. So I wanted to go into medical. I had tried a couple other things that didn't work out. And so I finally found a medical lab tech opening. So I went from working on airplanes to going into medical lab tech. And I went through the tech school for 13 years, came out, and oh, my husband gets orders to Japan. So, and I found out the reserves was not pretty. They were not nice. So I thought active duty was harsh, but reserves was a whole new ball game. I'm like, well, y'all just throw people out in the trash. All right, then. But yeah, so we ended up in Japan and, you know, we did okay, but I think that's when, you know, not only was I now learning how to be a civilian, which I hadn't been in quite some time, mm-hmm. but I really just felt no self-worth at that time either. And I think this is something a lot of veterans feel, especially if they're not planning on getting out. I didn't plan on getting out at that time. I planned on retiring. And so it was like, well, what am I doing with my life at this point? And then here I am. I'm in a different country, which I loved. I loved Okinawa, but it was just, what am I doing? Like I had worked so hard towards so many things. And then it was just like, it all just came crashing down. So I think that kind of began a journey that I didn't even know was there. So me being that suppressionist, what did I do? I just started working out like crazy. I got into bodybuilding. Oh, I don't know. My body's falling apart. Let's do bodybuilding. What? No. Like, but I did. And I'm grateful and it was fun. But you know, it just, like I said, it didn't matter what I looked like, the pain was still there. And I felt good and I was helping people because I was doing personal training and nutrition coaching. I learned all that. And I was helping other people, but I wasn't digging deep enough in myself. So when we came back to the States, my husband actually got stationed out in New Mexico. And I had a lot of friends out there because we were both aircraft maintenance. So I knew a lot of people that he knew. It's a very small world. And so some of the, a couple of the wives were like, don't come out here. The school system sucks. Crime rate's horrible. And I'm just like, okay. Now what? And so he didn't know if he was going to retire or not. So he was at 19 years at that point. And I said, well, there's no point in us going out there and then moving our daughter again. So, and I knew that I needed to do some internal work. So I ended up coming back to Jacksonville, Florida. Hadn't lived here in 20 years. and I brought our daughter, and I knew which side of town to stay away from and which side, you know, come from here. So it was, that was good.
Right.
So got her in school, and then it just began this journey. And I really just started falling apart at the seams. I never had to market anything in my business. I never had to do any of that. I really just started the business because, again, that's what I did. One thing stopped, I just started something else. Like, that's just what I do. And it really just, one day my daughter was at school and I just finally dropped to my knees and I said, if you're there, I got nothing. It was that bad by that time. It was probably a couple of weeks, maybe three. I don't even know, to be honest. It was just kind of this downward spiral that was happening where I would put on this mask to take my daughter to the bus stop and make sure that she, you know, I didn't want her to see anything. She's old enough. She was 9 at the time. Mm-hmm. But when I would get back to the apartment, I was falling apart. I wasn't able to help people. I didn't have any clients. I tried personal training at a gym. I hated it. It was horrible. It was very just impersonal. And I never operated like that. So I didn't really, I just felt like I was contributing to the problem. So that lasted 2 weeks. And then, you know, and here I am. And then I'm paying money that I didn't have to business coaches and bringing myself further down and financially, and didn't know if I was going to be able to pay the rent some. I'm having to ask my husband for help. And I never was like that. I never had to depend on anybody my whole life. And here I am, you know, I was almost 41 years old and I'm just like, oh my God, what is going on? And I always was I was a believer, but I never knew how to build a relationship and then I had trust issues, like trusting something I can't see, like who does that? You know, like that's really where I was, but I had nothing left. I had nothing left. And I said, well, you know what, no matter what, if reading these scriptures is going to help me pull out of whatever I'm in right now, let me do that. Cause it's one thing I haven't tried yet. And right. I did. Yeah. I got around the right people. I got around people who supported me and really, you know, just helped me grow in that area. And I will tell you, I contributed all to that because it allowed me to kind of move out of my way. It allowed me to forgive myself, forgive others. There was a scripture that said, do it. And I said, well, I guess I'll try that because I haven't done that either. You know, love others, be kind, serve. And here I am, and I'm a services business. So I need to know how to serve people, right? Like mm-hmm. And it wasn't working out because I always was so guarded. I always thought I thought that I was going to get hurt all the time because I always had. That was my whole life. Even with my husband, I honestly don't even know why he stuck with me this whole time. I know now because we have our daughter, but if we hadn't had her, he even said it. He was like, I would have been gone a long time ago. I know. I'm sorry. You know, like we struggle with that, but we're good now. Like we're building that relationship now. He retired and I'm just grateful that I was able to go on that journey before he got back and we were able to live together, because honestly, our whole military career, we didn't have a relationship, you know, we're gone. He would deploy, I would deploy, I would PCS, he would PCS, you know, like we were always apart. Our daughter came out of a deployment, you know, like right. That couple weeks in between, you know, and it was just, now we're learning how to be married after almost 15 years.
That's a real struggle that a lot of people go through.
Isn't it though? Yes. Yes. But I will say my daughter is my why. She is my everything. She's on the cover of my book. She's why I didn't give up. She's why I'm still here. Mm-hmm. She's why I learned how to work from the inside out. And so when I started doing that, I started realizing a lot more people needed that And so who cares if you can work out and eat right? If your mind's not in the right place, we're in trouble.
Right.
You're never going to be able to get the results that you want. And I had to learn that, you know, and mine wasn't necessarily the health results, because I, that stuff was easy to me by then. It was the, how do I sustain a business? How do I take care of my family? How, those were the results that I desired at that point. But lo and behold, you use the same stuff. It's the same. I really just had to turn the mirror around and use the same coaching I was giving everybody else on myself.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just that that easy. It sounds easy when you say it that way, but
it's not easy.
When you're doing it for yourself, it's when you're looking in the mirror, it's a whole different beast.
Oh yeah. And I tell people, if when you're ready to go on this journey, you got to be ready.
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially if anybody's been in the military, like you're going to battle right now. You're going to battle yourself. We are our own worst enemy. We cause, like, I sit here, you know, we put labels on these things, PTSD, depression, all that stuff. It's, I truly believe now, because I've been able to come out of that stuff, I was doing it to myself.
Yeah.
I was the one who was blaming myself, comparing myself to my past self. How did I let myself get in this situation type thing? Like, you can't do that.
Right. Yeah. A lot of it is how just the, partially the environment that you're in, you know, you said you started hanging out with different people and they were supportive and
that was helpful. Huge. Yeah.
And it's also the way you think about yourself and about the world around you. Mm-hmm. One thing I had mentioned this probably, probably a year ago or so on this podcast. I had read a study about veterans who came back from Vietnam, where there was drug use was like rampant over there amongst the soldiers that were overseas. And people who had never used drugs before, they'd go over there and they would use the drugs for one reason or another. And the medical professionals who were kind of evaluating them said, well, you know, from what we know about these drugs, once when you're hooked on them, it's hard to get off. There's probably no chance of you actually getting off.
Right.
But the thing was, once when they came back home and they went back to their families, their hometowns that they came from and all that stuff, where they were removed from that environment where they were constantly exposed to the drugs and the type of people who were providing it to them or encouraging them to take it. Once when they got away from that environment, the desire to use those drugs kind of just faded in a good number of those people. So it's probably very similar to what happened with you, where you were in an environment that maybe wasn't the healthiest environment, but then you managed to find a different environment. And that sort of helped you along the way in your journey.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess the reason why I bring that up is because, you know, people might be listening out there who, you know, they just are in this routine where they're constantly around the same people and constantly doing the same things and all that kind of stuff. And it winds up getting to the point where they don't know how to stop doing that stuff.
Right.
And if they can break that cycle, if they can find a new environment, even if that means pack up and move to another state, another town, another, you know, just move. You know, one guy I had on the podcast last year, Seth Schultz, he was struggling in his hometown. His friends, his family, they're all toxic relationships. They were all encouraging him to do all these bad things.
Yeah.
He packed up and he moved, and now he's a successful business owner. He's got a team of people working for him and everything like that. And life is good. He has a family you know, wife and kids and everything.
Well, and they've proven that so many times, right? And I know when I first heard that, I guess I hadn't really thought about it, but even some of my clients were sucking the life out of me. I love them, but you know, I had to really be careful, because it was like, okay, if I haven't worked on me, I can't really show up for you. And then, you know, like now I can work with different people, right? Like I have worked with people that have PTSD and things like that, and I've helped them kind of get over some of those things. But they have to be open to it too. You know, when they're so guarded, you're not going to get anywhere. And sometimes I just have to say, you know what, I'm here if you need somebody to talk to, but you know, let's come back when you're really, really ready. Because I can't change you. Nobody else could have changed Jody Watkins. Believe, because like I said, I am stubborn. And I had to do it. And it is hard. It's very uncomfortable. I didn't like it at all. But, you know, as I was going through that, and I actually took about a month off from my business, like everything. I had to be a mom still. I couldn't stop that. But you know, I really just had to kind of digress from all the chatter. That was just too much chaos. Like, I have all these business people telling me how I should run my business, and none of it was in alignment with what I love. You know, I just love to pour into people and really help people. And I had these people like, oh, you have to market this, and you gotta, you know, put your price point here and stuff like this. And I'm like, you know, it's like, and I compared it to, I still tell people this, like I started comparing it to when someone's on their health journey, right? And you got 50 million gurus out there telling you what to do. Eat this, have this diet, drink this shake, blah, blah, blah. Quit. And then wonder why, right? And then, you know, the new year comes, people are like on that kick, like, I'm gonna get in shape. And then they last 2 months because they didn't have the proper support system. Mm-hmm. And that, yeah, if we don't have that and we're not open to it, that's the key too. I had to become open to it. I could have had these people in my life the whole time, but I wasn't open to it. I was more comfortable being around the toxic people. Right. Because right. I was toxic. I was hurt. I was broken. I was, you know, whatever you want to call it. And so that's what I kind of, and I was just reading a book about this too. I started kind of gravitating towards that. And, you know, but there was the other people that I could have, you know, gravitated mm-hmm. towards, but I didn't. So right. when I was going through this journey just last year, it was just like, I have to choose new people. I got to be around different people.
Yep.
And then I had to stop forcing the people, because not everybody you think is good is good. And you probably know this.
Sure.
So, you know, you just have to kind of, I had to learn how to be patient, which that was another thing I had to work on, because I wasn't a very patient person. And I just had to learn how to be for a little bit. And I think sometimes because our world gets so chaotic and we're so stressed about, especially right now with COVID and everything, you know, business owners, they're losing their businesses and things. We get so caught up in that we forget what we have to be grateful for. So I had to switch my thinking. Okay. I don't know how the rent's going to get paid next month. Hopefully we don't end up on the street, but I have a beautiful daughter who is really depending on me right now. And oh, by the way, I do have a roof over my head. You know, like there's homeless shelters downtown. My daughter had never seen one before. And when we were driving around one time down there, she was like, why are they just standing outside? And it dawned on me, we're privileged. I mean, I grew up seeing that stuff, but she had never seen that. At 9 years old, she had never seen that. And here she is finally just learning about that. So that was humbling, I think, for both of us, you know? And we just get so caught up in our day-to-day and like I tell people all the time, when I go to the gym, I go to the gym early in the morning. And the people that I've developed a pretty good relationship with, most of the people that are in there, it's the same people, you know, and I tell them, like, you know what, I wake up a little bit earlier because I got to work on me before I can even show up here now. And I used to not do that. I used to go straight to the gym because, you know, suppressionist Jody, like, just suppress it. No big deal. Just suppress it. Keep going. No, face it. Face it every day. You got to face it. And you got to make that new journey every single day.
Yeah. Because if you
has to keep just
going, ignore it, it'll actually feel good for a short amount of time because forget about it. And we're lazy creatures, humans. We like to do the easy things, and it's easier to just ignore some of the problems that we're going through and just let them go. But, you know, once when you let too many things go and they just go and go and go, they build up to a point where you can't manage them anymore. And you start to notice yourself unraveling and falling apart. And, you know, that's like you said, if you can't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able, on the mental side, you're not going to be able to nope. really enjoy the physical side.
Exactly.
Even if you're on top of your game.
Right. And that, like when I was on top of my game, I felt like I still had these struggles. And I will say that was kind of when I started starting to work on it, but I still wasn't quite there. I needed to really be knocked down. Like, that's stubborn, Jody. I got to be knocked to the ground before I'm finally going to say, okay, what are we doing? But yeah, I will say, back in, it's been about 4 years ago, my daughter technically got diagnosed with ADHD. So, they wanted her on the meds, and this is kind of, I think, and I don't want anybody to misinterpret what I'm saying. Those labels do exist. I will never say that PTSD does not exist. Please don't ever think that Jody ever said that, because no, it does. What I will say is it doesn't always take medication to get you out of it, right? And so when my daughter got diagnosed with ADHD, of course, that's the first thing they want to do, because doctors prescribe meds. They don't get nutrition background unless they go to do that. Mm-hmm. But for most part, they don't look at those things, right? So anyway, she's on these meds, and I really hated doing that. I was just like, this is where I felt like the worst mom in the world. And she would come home and she would just be like, Mom, my stomach hurts. And we tried like 3 different medications. And finally, I just started digging in. I said, well, golly, I'm a researcher. Let me research this. And lo and behold, I found some studies they had done on ADHD and autism where it was just a simple lack of protein in kids. And I started thinking about it. I was like, well, okay, I'm looking at these medications that they're giving her, and they kind of give them energy to kind of balance it out. And I started looking, there's branched chain amino acids. I don't know if you've ever heard of BCAAs. Well, it's not just for muscle building. It's also amino acids are the building blocks of protein. Protein gives, they're for hormones, they're for brain function, they're for all kinds of different things. And so I started doing that research. I reached out to her pediatrician. Her pediatrician was like, well, you would know more than I would on that. And I'm like, well, golly, all right, we're taking off the meds, and I'm going to try this stuff. So that's what we did. But out of that journey with her, she was going to counseling for that. And what they would tell me things to kind of help her with schedules, time management, staying consistent. And I started realizing that I had those same tendencies. So, back in the day, they didn't diagnose anything. 42 right now, they didn't diagnose that stuff back then. They're like, whatever, you're a kid. Yeah. but I had those tendencies. So I was all over the place back then. And I still can be, but I've learned how to become aware of it. And I keep people, that goes back to the people you keep around you. I keep people around me that will tell me, right? Like, you gotta pull back a little bit, Jody. And I need those people. My husband's one of them. He's like, you're doing too much. Thanks. and we need those people around. But where I was getting with that is the time management and the scheduling is something that I've been able to now help other people with too, because I think when we become busy, especially as entrepreneurs or people coming out of the military, it's like that now what, right? Now what do I do? Or they go back to work and then their life is like falling apart because now what? I have nothing. Some people just feel like they don't have that same thing that they had, or like when they came out, like I had a higher rank. I was kind of in a leadership position. Now what? Now I'm just one of the regular people, right? Like I gotta start all over. And so, the time management, the scheduling, the learning how to, like I learned how to say affirmations in the mirror, which I felt so stupid doing, but it was so helpful, because eventually if you tell yourself something over and over and over and over, guess what? You believe it. That's why I catch, but here's the thing about that. That can go either way. If you tell yourself you're ugly, you tell yourself you're fat. If you tell yourself that you suck at something, when my daughter says stuff like that, I say, mm-hmm. You will not tell yourself those things. And it's just, oh my God, I can't even explain the whole, there's going to have to be another book eventually too, because like, I have like 5 more book titles there in there. Cause it's the journey just keeps going. And yes, PTSD does exist. Depression does exist, but the best way to get the suicide rate down is for people to just stop being so about themselves and start looking at the rest of the world. I had to do that. I had to had to make it stop being so much about Jody and what Jody was going through. And how are you doing today? How's your day going? And just being more intentional. And, you know, and I learned how to remember people's names because I was horrible at that, but I learned how to do it. Stop your brain from working for just a split second so you can actually remember their name. You know?
Right.
It's just all these little things. And I think because we're habitual creatures, right? We just go about our day to day. We do the same things over and over and over, and we just keep doing it. And it doesn't matter if it's a negative thing or a positive thing. If it's positive, awesome. Keep going. Make it better. If it's negative, that's a definitely just a recipe for disaster.
It is. It is,
and
definitely.
I'm telling you, like, if it wasn't for my daughter, I don't know if I would be here because I was doing that.
Right. And you get into a cycle where you keep doing that. And if you don't have that positive influence in your life, you know, in your case, your daughter, but I'm sure other people have other people other things in their life that, you know, keeps them from, you know, going down that path. But if you didn't have that positive influence, you wouldn't really have, a reason to start thinking more positively, do that for them, you know, about it that way. And sometimes that's just the little kickstart that you need to start doing it to say, I'm going to do this for my daughter to make sure that she has a happy mom and a happy, house to live in. So she doesn't have to know about the homeless shelters or the other bad things that are out there. I don't want to say homeless shelters are a bad thing.
I want her to know, right? I know. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Home experience, you know.
You don't want them to experience that, right? Like, you want them to be able to help those people.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what it was. It was just, I never try to shelter her. I'm always, eventually I'm going to tell her the stuff that I had to deal with, and she does know some of it, but she is only still, she'll be 11 in December. So I have to keep it, is it PG? Yeah. So she does know some. She knows that my mom passed away when I was pregnant with her. She knows that, I did grow up with violence, and she knows that I did grow up with, a lot of drinking and drugs and things like that. And we've talked about drugs because they talk about it at school. So, they're growing up really fast these days too. I don't know about all that, but, but yeah, so we do have, it's this whole journey. And if people can get one thing out of this whole conversation, I hope that they can at least get this. You can show up, like you said, you can show up for people so much better when you stop making it about you all the time. I can honestly say I am such a better mom. I'm a much better wife these days. And it's because I let go. I let go. I just got out of my way. I had somebody ask me that not too long ago, like, what changed? Like you did, like what changed? And I just said, I just got out of my way.
Yeah.
I got out of the way. I moved myself. Remove. Bye. I'm blocking. It was like, and I don't know if you've ever done any reading on like quantum physics or whatever, but I'm really enjoying that now. I hated science when I was growing up, but I really like it now. It's like so interesting. And it's just, we have like the shield, right? And if we're operating in that place that, or I'll say that space, right? That state of mind where we're just like not accepting of anything good in our lives, then anytime something good tries to happen, we're blocking it. It can't even penetrate. There's this shield. And then we wonder why we are just falling apart. We're dying inside. But it's when we finally kind of, And it does take a lot of work, you guys, once you make that decision, like I had to make a hard decision, and it was, I refuse to keep going like this, right? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, right? You've heard this, doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. It will not happen.
Exactly.
Guess what? If you wake up depressed because you're stressed out and you're worried about this thing, maybe you should not do that tomorrow, And one of the things that that I wrote about in the book is the first thing I had to start doing in the morning as soon as I wake up. Thank you, God, for waking me up. I'm grateful. I just wake up, and you don't have to believe in God. Just wake up grateful, you know, like
just be thankful that you woke up, you know.
Thank you. Yes. Like, oh, I have my arms and okay, I still have my legs. And like I told you earlier, I still got my voice. Like I have a lot to be grateful for. And if it's just those things, guess what? I still got a lot to be grateful for because some people don't have any of that.
Yep.
Exactly. And they're still doing whatever they want to do because they're not limiting themselves.
Exactly.
There's paraplegics that are changing the world,
right? Yeah,
so stuck in ourselves.
I've had people on this podcast who have lost both legs and have climbed some of the tallest mountain peaks in the world, and they're still managing to do this. So, you know, if they can get out of bed and, you know, find a reason to keep going and train for these types of things, yeah, and find some motivation in life, I think we can figure it out too. Now, Jody, this has been like a great conversation, and I know on your podcast you have similar conversations with other people, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about your podcast and you know how the stories that you share on your podcast are helping people you know find that hope. How do you think that's you know happening on your podcast?
Well, you know, and we're still in the beginning stages. Like I said, this is only kind of the second season. I'm still trying to fill it out, and maybe I can learn some things from people like you that have been doing it for a little bit longer. But you know, it's really just that conversation, I think, that has to happen in the sharing of the stories. Like, and I'm involved in another, there's a retired Marine who started a platform called Convene Communities, and he's allowed me to come in. I'm the wellness community leader, and that's been, oh my gosh, that's amazing. But with that, it's like, you know, sharing those experiences, sometimes people just need to hear it. Like, you know, I have my friend Jada, she was on, and then I have my friend Kelly who's staying here with us right now. And we came on and talked about being taken advantage of in the military. We never talk about that stuff, right? But how many women don't say anything? I was one of them, like, oh, whatever. And like I said, I just suppressed everything. So it didn't matter, right? Like to just go on, keep going. But it does matter. Mm-hmm. It does matter. And it's just, it's allowing yourself, like with Jada, like with her story, she's revealing the system and the fact that the courts are allowing this abuser to possibly get her daughter. Like what? Who threw them both out, by the way.
All right.
Like, come on. And so, you know, it's just, I think we're kind of outing some things and we're letting people know that it's okay. I'm perfectly imperfect. Like, you're not a bad person if something right. happened to you. And I think we get so caught up in that. And then we start, like I said, it's just those negative things that we tell ourselves. We say it. Nobody else has to tell me I'm a bad person if I'm saying it to myself. I've already got it covered. It don't matter what you tell me, right? Like I've already got it covered. I'm already telling myself I suck.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, nothing is going to come out now. Like it's not going to matter. Okay, cool. I'm going to go try to lose weight at the gym. Well, yeah, 2 months later I quit because I suck. Right. No, stop. Like, and I think when we finally just start sharing those things, so that's what I've really just been valuing, even with the coaching that I do and being that accountability partner for people, is just allowing them to have a safe place to share.
Right.
You know, and I tell them it's 100% confidential. I'm not a licensed therapist yet. It's going to come, but it's not, I'm finally figured out what I want to be when I grow up, but you know, it's just that safe space, I think. And then when people realize that they can relate to you, right? Like you're speaking their language, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'm not the only person that grew up with a paranoid schizophrenic who beat on my mom like that. I'm not the only person. When I was a kid, I thought I was, but I wasn't. Right. But I'm, you know, in me sharing that, then, you know, I've been able to meet other amazing people who are like, oh my God, like I went through that too. And okay. And now what, you know, and then we just lock arms and we all thrive because we're not broken. We tell ourselves we're broken, but we're not broken.
And it's great to know that you're not alone, in whatever it is that you're going through. And this is a point that I like to make with the people that I talk to on this podcast, is that, you know, if you're experiencing this stuff, you know, like in your case, you had a lot of, you know, trauma from when you were growing up. And then that continued and just never was really resolved, you know, going through your military career and then afterwards and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And it just kept building and building and building. Well, guess what? You're not the only one either. You know, there's other people who are out there who had a messed up childhood, who had, you know, trouble in the military. You know, they went through some various traumas. And none of that stuff got resolved. They never went and talked to anybody, saw a therapist or anything like that. And those things just build up and build up and build up. And that's why you start seeing the issues that we have with you know, PTSD and mm-hmm. the suicide rates with veterans and homelessness and all these other issues. Just they come from all of this, you know, the drug and alcohol abuses and all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, it's good to know that you're not alone with all this stuff. It's not great to know that there's other people suffering. You know, you obviously don't want right. that, but it's good to know you're not alone.
For at some extent, like even the wealthiest of people have suffering, right? Like, for you know, sure. I think we're so, and social media, I think, plays a huge part of this. We just look at people and we like, oh, they are perfect. They have their whole life together. And we don't know anything that's going on behind the scenes. Right. Nobody knew A-game. That I was falling apart, right? Like people are like, oh, you look like you're doing great. Oh yeah, I'm doing great. But I don't want to freaking, you know, like, no, I was horrible. Like things were not good. But right. Of course, I'm not going to go blast that on social media. So I think we are just so prone to looking at the outside of people and thinking that we already know what they got to give. But when you start talking to them, so that's why, like, you know, I stopped wearing headphones at the gym. I talk to people more and I go to work out, but I do like to have conversations too. And it will be like working out and talking at the same time. And you can get to know people when you do that. Right. And again, it's just taking yourself out of the equation and actually being intentional, being genuine. And like I said, you know, at the beginning of this, I'm an open book. I just stopped caring what people think, because I used to think that, you know, especially with what I do, like, oh, I gotta be a certain way. I gotta talk a certain way. I gotta, you know, cause I want everybody to like me. I used to always try to fit in my whole life. That's all it's ever been. I just always wanted to fit in cause I never did. So how do I fit in? Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. And this is another thing where I say about reading the scriptures has kind of taught me is I'm not meant to fit in. I'm not meant to fit right. in. Stop trying. That's why it hasn't worked this whole entire time. So just be yourself. Okay, cool. So that's what I'm doing. Take this podcast for example. I don't study anything. I don't need to study how to be me. I just be me.
Exactly.
It works.
And that's
the best any problems way, with it.
That's the best way to do it. Is just be you. To wrap this up, for the listeners who are listening to this this podcast, I will have links to all the stuff that we talked about in the show notes for this episode. I'll have links to Jody's podcast, the Breaking Barriers Now podcast, and you can also search for it on your favorite podcast player. Mm-hmm. You could probably find it there.
Yeah.
And I'll also link to the book and everything else that we talked about today in the show notes for this episode. Awesome. Jody,
I do want to real quick before we end this, ahead. I do, cause I kind of mentioned it briefly. Matthew Kernan, he's an amazing person. Like I said, retired Marine. I would love to connect you with him. He's a good person to have on the show. He's got some stories too, but he and I connected, and that's why I don't believe in coincidence anymore. He and I connected through someone else, and he has this platform. Like I said, it's called Convene Community. So I'll send you the link for that too. He did allow me to be the wellness community leader after we developed a really good relationship. But the great thing about that is when we talk about that, you know, the confidentiality and people not really wanting to open up, there's a reason why I don't really get a whole lot of engagement as much on social media, because people just don't want to, they don't feel comfortable opening up. Well, guess what? You can go on here and you can be anonymous. Nobody knows it's you. So that's, I love how his team put all that together. He has an amazing team. They're all veterans. You know, and it's just this great, like I said, support system. Like we just all encourage and empower each other. And if nothing else, being around them, that's enough for me. Cause mm-hmm. I'm just like, ugh. So I just wanted to make sure I do have that plug in there, because that's another place that I can be found. And then also there's a ton of connections in there for anybody out there. There's a ton of groups, a ton of community leaders, amazing people, and there's something for everyone. So I definitely want to make sure that I put that out there.
And before we close this out, at the beginning, I mentioned that you had an election day story.
Today is election day.
And you said it was going to be a funny one. So I want to make sure we really got a quick place to put that in.
Okay. So I just want to say, since I have been in the military pretty much this whole time, and then I was overseas, right? So I haven't really voted in the States, like, what, 20 years? Yeah. So I didn't know what the heck I was doing. So I go, the problem was I got my mail-in ballot, but life has just been, you know, busy, busy, busy. And I didn't have it on my schedule to send it. I filled it out, but I didn't send it. And so I said, okay, well now I just got to go. And I love talking to people anyway. So I just decided I was going to go. So I had something I had to do beforehand. And then I went to this one place and they were like, oh, you're in the wrong place. You got to go to this other one. Oh, okay. All right, cool. So I go to the other one. It's like this really little small church right down the street from our house. And I have my mail-in ballot in my hand, right? Because I already have that filled out. And I don't feel like having to remember what answers I already put because I researched them all, right? Yeah. So I already have that filled out. So I'm taking that in with me because I'm copying everything over. And so I have that with me. I have my ID and I walk in. And, you know, like I said, it's real small, hardly anybody in there. So I go to the first little desk and he takes my ID and he's like, okay, cool. And he puts my information in. All right, cool. He gives me the slip. Okay. All right, cool. So I go to the next table and they gave me the ballot or whatever. Okay, cool. So I go to this thing. I'm like looking around. Okay. I see this private thing. I need to go there. So I open up my mail-in ballot, right? Because I got to copy the answers. So I got two ballots sitting right there. And I'm like copying the answers over. And I'm like, well, it's the same ballot, but I know they won't take this one. So I'll just copy them over. No big deal. All right. So then when I got done, I rip it up, right? I put it back in the envelope. I'm just going to shred it when I get home. No big deal. All right. So I come around the corner. I go around to the other. So the last lady, the very last lady, come to find out like four people didn't do the job, right? So I get to her and she's like, what's that in your hand? And she's looking at the mail-in ballot. She's like, what's that in your hand? I'm like, well, that was my mail-in ballot. I had to make sure I put the same stuff, right? And she was just like, oh no, you weren't supposed to have that still. They were supposed to collect that over there. And I'm looking at her like, I don't know. Wait, really? I'm laughing. I'm like, okay, cool. And I was like, I was just going to shred it. No big deal. And she was just like, oh, it is a big deal. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then she saw that I still had the ticket in my hand. And she's like, how do you still have that in your hand? They were supposed to take that before they gave you the other ballot. And well, I didn't know that, right? I'm like laughing hysterically. She walks me around to the other side and I have my mail-in ballot in my hand still. I've already turned, now I will say I have already scanned my other one, so I'm good. I've already voted by this time. And so she walks me around to the other and she's like, did you guys see that she had a mail-in ballot? Does she have it in her pocket? She was like, did you have it in your pocket? I was like, no, it doesn't fit in my pocket. And then so I look up and the guy, and you know, we're all in masks, right? So it's really funny when you can still see everybody's expressions. So I look over and the guy, like, she's like, did you guys not see that this, does she have it in her pocket? And the guy was just like shaking his head, like looking at me, shaking his head, like, please don't tell her. Like, I was like, ma'am, look, I've been in the military. I can't even tell you the last time. I don't even know if I've ever really voted. I think in high school we did it, you know, for the fun of it, but I don't think I ever really had absentee ballots.
Everything was just fill it out at home and mail it in when so, you did, right?
I was like, you know, I'm just learning this stuff. I was like, man, I'm back in the States now. And I just made it fun. And so everybody started, even the lady who was being all serious, she started kind of laughing a little bit, not too much, but yeah. And she was just like, well, she has to take that ballot because she can't take it home. And I was just like, okay, cool, here, have it. I've already ripped it up for you. And then the other guy, you know, she was just like, well, you got to make sure you take their ticket before they give a ballot. And I was like, I was probably hiding it or something. And I was like, you know, so I'm standing there and I'm like, well, am I good? And they all just kind of looked at me, and this one lady, she's like laughing hysterically by now, and she's just like, yeah, you're good, welcome home. And I was just like, thank you. So I was like, y'all have a great day, I'm out.
Right.
But it was just so funny because, you know, and I think about this a lot because we are, you know, especially driving and stuff like that, like, and you live in Arizona. I don't know how people are out there. I know New Mexico, they were always angry. Jacksonville, Florida, there's some angry people here. But But it's funny because it's that reactivity. We are so reactive. I wrote a blog about this, and I was too. And so I always tell them, I'm not judging anybody, because that was me. Everything that I write about was me. But I notice it a lot more in other people now. So as soon as I notice it now, I try to flip the switch, because either I can be reactive with them. Because what it would have helped if I had just got a bad attitude and been like arguing with the lady? No. Like that, no.
Right.
Why even go there? That's a waste of my energy. It's gonna waste more of her energy. And at the end of the day, I'm just trying to vote, right? So I just made it fun. And that's what I try to do now. You know, people that I see, haven't seen in a while, they're like, you just light up the room when you walk in. And I'm like, well, it's a good thing you know me now, because I probably didn't do that back then. But that's just, it's because I'm just this person now. I don't choose to live in a negative state anymore. I've been there. It didn't work out for me. And right. So I had to choose to make different choices. And I'm going to say that word all the time, because it's always a choice. We have one over here. Remember the devil and the angel? Yep. It's so true. Who knew? Like, you know, I thought it was like a funny ha ha thing, but no, it's true. Like,
yeah, you definitely do. You have choices to make all the time with this type of stuff and
everything, every split second. And I've learned to, instead of just being so reactive, to kind of just step back, take a deep breath and say, okay, how am I going to move forward now? And right. I never used to do that either. So it's just really that self-awareness, self-analyzing. Right. And just saying, okay, what do I need to work on so I can change it? But you have mm-hmm. to be, you got to get rid of the pride. You got to get rid of the ego, ask for help. Sometimes that's something else I struggled with, and just be vulnerable.
And you have to be willing to change too.
You have to be.
So, well, again, this has been a great conversation. I really enjoyed yes. it. And I really did enjoy having you on. Again, for everyone who's listening, links to everything that we talked about today will be in the show notes. And Jody, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. I want to acknowledge you, because everybody that's doing this type of thing is helping the people. And what I told you earlier, you know, if we all just collaborate and work together on this, guess how many more people we can help? So yep. I love it. So I keep doing what you're doing, man, because that's, and I love, of course, that you're targeting vets, because I am one.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we all go through these things, and, you know, but sharing these stories and just getting it out there and just letting people know, like, hey, you're not the only one. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just huge. So it doesn't matter what platform we do that on, as long as Absolutely. We're doing it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive On Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.